Blog Talk Radio.
Tupac, please. He's going to tell black people what to do. He recites some history. Please, all these gangster rappers telling black people with college educations what to do. That doesn't strike you as odd?
Okay, so you're saying that lower class blacks have the upper and middle class in check.
You know it. You'd get called Uncle Tom in a second if you went against the kind of agenda they set. Right? I mean, I'm not saying be white, but this tough guy stuff is not exactly your Stanley Kaplan formula for success. Imagine if white people were dictated to by white trash. We'd all live in trailer parks and West Virginia would be the most populous state.
Yeah, go ahead. Hello?
We are gathered here today to introduce this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man, what is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funk and lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold, born in a cosmos, where no time and space to exist, vibe in the midst of the chaos, mortals label me as a lock.
You're traveling to another radio show, a broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Deeper, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening, folks. Welcome. Sorry for the delayed start. My apologies again. This is Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. We are here. We are alive. We are dealing with sweltering heat. We're talking about 95 degrees in the NYC. So, unfortunately, we had a brief personal blackout. My everything just blacked out, and unfortunately, we had to start a little bit late. Nevertheless, the show must go on again. After Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. Captain is in the field, so apologies for how he may sound because he's out in the street, out in the field. It makes for an interesting show, folks. Before we get into the discourse, we have a lot to get into. It's only an hour show. We're going to get into a little bit of funk. That's what we do. This time around, I always play this guy, the Purple Yoda, His Royal Badness. This is Montreal Square, as in Calhoun Square, Montreal Square Live, Prince from Australia. Let's groove.
I love you.
Okay, folks, once again, that was a little bit of a play on words. The song, the studio version of the song was Calhoun Square, which is a part of Minneapolis. Calhoun Square, but he changed it up while he was in, he was in Canada. I said Australia. He was in Canada, and he changed it up to Montreal Square as opposed to Calhoun Square. Again, folks, welcome to our midweek review show. The time, 7:07 p.m. We're starting a little bit late, but nevertheless, the show must go on. And, of course, we can't do the show without the captain. Let's get him in. Let's get his intro correct.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Cat, cat, kaboom. Now, I had a diatribe, but I'll save the diatribe for another show. Let's get it started, Sir Captain. Sir Afro Nerd, let's get it going.
You know what? You may want to go there. I want to upload something, Captain. So I may want you, if you want to do that, go ahead.
All right. So let's get into it. I want to talk about thugism right now very quickly. Can everybody hear me loud and clear at this given moment? All right? See, from time to time, I talk about thugism. And what I mean with thugism, the actual aspect of thug. All right? I have a certain disdain for thugs, but at the same time, I have a certain amount of respect. You see, this is what I mean. If we could bottle the sublime good, that's just only taking the good aspect of the thug and throwing away the negativity. Because thugism, what does it bring? It brings you jail time, long-term jail time, or you end up shot up in debt. But the good aspect of thugism is the drive and determination. If we can bottle that and give that to businessmen, now you have a $1 billion business. This is what I mean. The thug feels that there is no tomorrow. You understand? So the thug just acts on impulse. They do everything from an impulse out of act of desperation, because tomorrow, there is no tomorrow from the thug standpoint. So that makes them very driven in what they do. Now, don't get me wrong. What they do is misguided, because you will end up locked down or shot up and murdered. We know this, or knife, in case that's what their weapon of choice. We know this. But that drive and determination is what a lot of the men, most of the men here in America and Europe, are lacking. If we remember, we go back years ago, many years ago into your history profile, something called Minutemen. Minutemen had thug in them. You understand? They pushed back the British. We do not have men like that to this day. You're scared of everything. You're scared to talk to the girl across the street. You're scared about, oh, if I go to this job, they may turn me down. You're scared of failure, and sometimes you're scared of success. There's no drive and determination in you whatsoever. Now, from a scientific standpoint, scientists say the testosterone levels are a lot lower than what the Minutemen had. But it's not only that. We've adapted means of passiveness that allow us to have no drive, no determination, when sometimes you just have to go. Meaning which, you might just have to go from A to B in order to make something happen. You want to do a business, you just go and do it. You already have everything what you need. If you want to talk to a girl, you already have what you need. And I'm pretty sure some of the listeners have seen what some of these girls make. The quote-unquote nurse who makes a decent salary. She makes a six-figure salary, at least here in New York a lot of times, with overtime and everything else. Look who she's dating a lot of times. Not all the time, but a lot of times. She's dating the guy in and out of jail. You know why she's dating him? Because you, the individual, who might have went to college or might have a good civil service job, you're thinking, oh, in order for me to talk to her, she's good-looking and she has a nursing job, I have to, maybe I have to go get a little more college credits. Maybe I have to go get a better job. Maybe I'm not dressed the right way at this given day. Okay, maybe I have to go get a haircut. You're second-guessing everything. But meanwhile, the thug, with his pants hanging off his behind, is going, let me go ahead and step up and just talk to her. And then he ends up with this girl because what's available to her, you're not stepping up. You're second-guessing everything. So, my point, I have a certain amount of disdain for the thug, but I have a certain amount of respect, that drive and determination, that a lot of us well-to-do people, if we had a little more drive and determination, we would be so much further along if we had a little bit of that thug, the sublime good of the thug. Keep the negative, okay? We know what the negative is. The negative is what gets you in prison, what gets you shot up, okay? And they are misguided. Don't get me wrong. We do not push thugism here on Afro-Nerd Radio. We push education and business. As I always say, education is good, but business is better. So, back over to you, Sir Apple Nerd. I hope you're ready to load up that information that you have ready for the people.
Yes, let's cross our fingers on that. let's see. Actually, maybe yes, maybe no. It'll probably load in eventually. Again, folks, words of wisdom from the great Captain Kirk. I couldn't agree any more than that. And actually, what I was loading up, would definitely dovetail off of what you just said. We have a lot of things to get into, and little time. We're already three-quarters of the way. I'm sorry, actually, one-third of the way of the show has already passed, so we have more to talk about. Again, folks, don't be scared. The call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. And let's just go down the line. I'll see if what I loaded up will come in eventually. But I just so happened to come across this YouTube clip by Dr. Boyce Watkins. And Dr. Boyce went in. I don't always agree with Dr. Boyce, honestly. Sometimes I've said this before on the show, sometimes I think that he's cut from the same cloth as Dr. Michael Eric Dyson, as Tavis. Smiley and Cornell, Dr. Cornell West, some of these folks, Melissa Harris Perry, some of them I think are in the business of edutainment, where they're educators, but there's a little bit of a entertainment spin to what they do. So sometimes I think he's cut from that same cloth. However, he went in on 50 Cent and Oprah Winfrey, and I might have mentioned this a few weeks ago. I was supposed to talk about this. And I probably just forgot about it, but he went in pretty much the way that I would have gone in with this interview that Oprah Winfrey conducted with 50 Cent. And I, you know, what this young man represents, what she represents, this beef that he insisted on instigating toward her, because simply put, her demographic is not his demographic, and what he represents doesn't represent what she represents. But she has a network that is in trouble, and I guess some concessions were made, and she decided to have this young man on, and it appears that Dr. Boyce had issue with it. So I'm trying to see if I can get this up. Well, you know what? I might not be able to do that. I'll get to it at some time during the show, hopefully. Let's just go down the list of topics to discuss for this evening's program. Actually, Alec Baldwin, noted actor, 30 Rock actor, he, once again, lashes out at paparazzi, at the photogs. And in him doing so, I mean, it's always that classic money shot that comes out when these guys or these young men, women, actors, actresses, when they get heated, they play in to the paparazzi. The paparazzi ends up taking a photograph of you looking like the Hulk. The creature is driven by rage, that kind of thing. And this happened this time again with Alec Baldwin. But he also references Trayvon Martin, which I find interesting. It's definitely a liberal tactic, I think. The captain and myself, we spoke about this before, so we'll get into Mr. Baldwin's troubles. Grey's Anatomy scribe Shonda Rhimes. Shonda Rhimes writes, produces the highly successful Grey's Anatomy series. And she took umbrage with another TV personality, or I should say a TV producer, for her show. I can't recollect the young lady's name. I'll get it in a moment. But this producer created Bunheads. Bunheads is a new TV series. And according to Ms. Rhymes, she felt that, well, listen, where are all the black folks? Where are all the brown folks? Where are all the yellow folks? She's screaming diversity again regarding Bunheads. We talked about this with this series, HBO series, a few weeks ago regarding girls. And now we're back again with Bunheads. So, you know, I don't know what to think about that. More on the controversial front by way of Arizona. Arizona KFNX radio host Barbara Renoso, I think her name is. Espinoza, I'm sorry, Barbara Espinoza. I'm off track this evening, folks, sorry. Barbara Espinoza bluntly and blatantly calls President Barack Obama a monkey and doubles down on it and doesn't apologize for it, claiming free speech. That's a problem. Also, Adidas, thankfully, decides to not release their slavery-themed sneakers. What the hell is going on? What the hell is going on? Let's see. Captain, are you there? Captain. I wonder what happened to the captain. Okay, we'll get back to him in a moment. Let's see. And also, if you have time, there appears to be scientific evidence that black bears are smarter than one would think. It appears that black bears can actually count. So now there may be evidence that their intelligence might be akin to a simian's intelligence. So I find that pretty fascinating. Listen, we're going to talk about all things here. This is Afro Nerd Radio. All right. Let me see if I can bring the captain in. I don't know what happened. Captain, are you there? Okay, you know what, folks? I'm going to go to a quick, and I do mean quick musical break, and I'll try to see if I can bring the captain back. And when we return, I want to talk about this Arizona talk show host that called unabashedly called President Obama a monkey. So this is Funkin' for Jamaica. This is an old school. No, you know what? Let me change it around. Let's still go classic. This is Searching to Find a One by Unlimited Touch. Searching to Find the One by Unlimited Touch, classic R&B joint. We'll be back in a few moments while I try to find the captain. Hold on.
Call
Okay, folks, we're back. That brief musical montage, A Gain, Unlimited Touch. Sorry about that. I want to get the captain back on. Captain,
I'm here. I'm here.
Okay. What happened, man? Okay.
You know, technology sometimes could be a little, you know, strange, indifferent, you know, funny, you know. So there you go.
These things happen. All right. So you know what, yeah. Captain? We were talking about this Arizona radio host, a local radio host. I think she's a nobody. Barbara Espinoza. But you wonder, when people do these things, do they do them just to get the notoriety and the controversy? Because now we know who Barbara Espinoza is. Anyway, they're talking about Barack Obama, President Obama, and she just very casually, I mean, I guess people just, listen, on one level I can appreciate the desire to be honest. That's part of the reason why we do what we do. But we try to be respectful. We try to be respectful. I mean, there's a negative and a positive to being honest, unfortunately.
Goodbye.
Are you still there, Captain?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Something happened with the phones. All right. So I guess in her racist mind, she didn't want to be uncomfortable. You know, the Oracle spoke when we had the tangential producer of our show. The Oracle, when we had the Father's Day special and we had a 2009 interview with my father, he emphasized the word comfortable. And she didn't want to be uncomfortable anymore. And she felt comfortable going in on Barack Obama, calling this man a monkey. So, I mean, there should be hell to pay for that. So, you know what? Let's listen to what she has to say, then we'll get into it. Hold on, folks. This is Barbara Espinoza from Arizona, KFNX, talking about Barack Obama. Hold on.
And we've got Richard on the phone. Richard, jump in here with Joe and Tom and Randy and Charles and myself.
Yeah, hi, Barb, everybody. I wish people would have the guts on the who runs the shows and all that to ask everybody who goes on these shows. I'd like to know how many people really voted for that idiot sitting in the White House. And anybody who says that they don't know anybody who's trying to destroy this country, all you have to do is see that rabbit ears guy who's sitting in the White House and what he's done to this nation in 3 years.
I call him a monkey.
I sit here wondering why I spent 30 years in the Marine Corps defending this country against communism and two tours in Vietnam and God knows where else I've been in this godforsaken world.
Well, I don't call him guy with rabbit ears. I call him a monkey. And I call him, I don't believe in calling him the first black president. I think he should be called.
I would have voted. I had Keynes.
I voted for the white guy myself.
Well, the color has no.
All right. Captain, any thoughts on this?
Well, obviously, as the other gentleman on the line was saying, he said the color has nothing to do with anything. That seems like what he was about to say. He had a problem with Obama's policy. This person here seems to be going down the lines that she has a problem with the skin color, okay? That's something entirely different there. You understand? I can respect other person's thoughts, their grievance, their differences, because they have a problem with the policy. And that's what it should be. But when you start getting into, you know, all your semantics, all your foolishness with this person's a monkey or they're a hippopotamus or this is this, you no longer have any credibility because then now you fall into what is known as the racist category. And we know from a perspective, from a racist, you know, regardless of whatever you do, they're just going to have an issue with you because they have a problem with your race. That's a whole different type of thing. We needed to hear more of what the other individual was saying other than this female here. Back over to you, Sir Arthur Nerd.
All right, actually, we have a caller. Let's open up the lines. Let's see what this person has to say again. Folks, you're listening to Arthur Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. We had a few technical difficulties. These things happen. Again, our apologies. Let's open up the line and see what's up. Okay, caller, welcome to Arthur Nerd. Tell us who you are. I'm a little off base. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from, 484.
Hey, Captain Kirk and D-Bird, it's Q-Storm. How are you?
Q, pretty good, man. What's up? Sorry for the technical difficulties. Things happen.
Oh, quite all right.
What's up?
Mm-hmm. When I well, Tokyo Mike was the person that I first heard about this this incident from, and you know, it just baffles me that I'm trying my best, D-Bert and Captain. I'm trying my best not to call it for what it is, but this, you know, this, and I know you, D-Bert, are a registered Republican. You know, that's all good, but I mean, I'm about ready to call it for what it is. I mean, this is the first president that has had a finger put in his face by a governor, first president that's ever been called a liar to his face on the floor of Congress, where they just escorted out a black man who wore a hoodie in defense of Trayvon Martin, but he was allowed to stay in the chamber. This guy who called him a liar. This is the first president in my lifetime that I know of who was interrupted on the White House lawn while delivering a presidential speech. And now you have this woman calling him on the airwaves. I don't know if she has a national program. I highly doubt it. But calling the president a monkey over the airwaves. So, I mean, it's almost at the point now where we've got to keep it 100, to use your phraseology, where I just wonder if we're going to debate on the issues or if people are finally going to reveal their true colors and realize that they just can't stand the fact that there's a man of color in the Oval Office. That's all I have to say.
Well, I want to keep in line for a moment. You know something, Q and Captain? I almost want to see more of this kind of stuff, because you're right, you do lose credibility, and you know, either you're going to talk about this man's policies, or is it going to be about race? Because if you're going to talk about the man's race, then that's really what it boils down to. I'm confused with what Obama is doing specifically, that's causing so much vitriol. I mean, we're just totally excusing the last 8 years with President Bush, and this man he inherited this nonsense, and within 2.5-3 years, already the bottom falls out because he's in office. But if it's going to be about this man being a monkey, is it about him being a monkey, or is it about his policy? And when you talk about him being a monkey, then what's the difference between him and other black folks? So is this how you feel about all black people? I mean, what are we talking about here? So, you know, I really would want to see. I don't know about you, Q, but I think it might be more favorable in a weird way, more favorable to see these kind of people publicly show their behinds, because when you go there like this and you disrespect the office, we're not talking about the man now. You are disrespecting the man, but if you can't keep the argument focused on the office of the presidency, then you lost the argument. Then it's not, you know, then it's not about him being a socialist, quote unquote socialist, or a communist, or what have you. It's not about that. It's about the man being black. Just call it like it is. You don't want to see, you know, I voted for the white guy. I mean, it's not, you know, are you voting for a human being, or are you voting for a color or ethnicity? So I hope.
And let's not forget that the woman who made the comment, if I'm not mistaken, is Hispanic.
That's what I'm confused on. I don't think she thinks she's Hispanic. Her surname is Espinoza. Maybe she's. I don't. You know, we'll investigate that. I don't think that's the case, because she is in Arizona. Arizona seems to have a certain tilt in everything they do, dating back to when we tried to get Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday made into a national holiday. Arizona was the place where it was being stuck. Arizona seems to have a racial issue, and I would never think you would say that regarding an entire state, but that's what it's looking like right now. Arizona just has a problem with race. So I would find it highly unlikely that she considers herself a Latina in the true sense of the word, because Latinos are catching hell in Arizona, and I doubt by the way she's speaking that she's representing that. Because if anything, in recent weeks, in recent days, President Obama has looked out with the DREAM Act, looked out for Latin folks. So I don't think she thinks she's Hispanic, Q. We'll look into it, but she's very much on the – listen, she said, I'm voting for the white guy. She sees herself as white.
If I can just say one last thing, and I know you want to move on, but, you know, the guy who called in, I mean, he sounded like an idiot to me. You know, all these conservatives talking about Obama's the most leftist, Marxist president, when most of his policies, a lot of his policies, echo the same policies of the last 8 years to a certain degree. At least I can argue an idiot on the politics and on the issues. I can't really argue with someone who has a racist bent. I can't argue his blackness. He's a black man. Yeah. I can't argue that. But I can argue someone on the idiocy with policies. But that's just beyond the pale what she said.
Can I interject something?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay. Now here's the thing, and this I think, in my opinion, and all it is opinion. This supersedes everything. The bankers have controlled the Republican and the Democratic Party for over 100 years. That being said, Obama, okay, has followed the bankers' policy to the letter. So all of these haters and everybody else, in my opinion, Obama is going to win the presidency again, regardless of what anybody says. That's my opinion, because he follows the ruling party, which is the bankers, not the Republican Party, not the Democratic Party or anything else, okay, or even big business. It's the bankers. Remember now, the United States does not print their own money. Only three countries in the world do print their own money. So Obama has been doing a perfect job from their perspective. So Obama, being that he's black, also is great for great misdirection, because as the theft of the money, as you get poorer and poorer, you can point your finger at Obama. So in my opinion, these fools on these shows that turn around and say he's a monkey or anything else you want to call him, monkey, gorilla, ape, this, or whatever else you want to call him, it serves the perfect purpose, because he is a scapegoat, in my opinion, for what the bankers want to do. So you do not get at the real and true facts, the theft of the money of this country. So in my opinion, Obama is going to win the presidency again. That's just my opinion, regardless of what anybody says. Back over to you, Sir Raffle Nerd.
Well, you know something, I hope you are right, Captain. And, you know, if you listen to that snippet closely, if you notice, you know, the background people were very taken aback by this woman calling him a monkey. So even some folks that have legitimate or maybe not so legitimate gripes with the president, even they take issue with someone who goes to the next level with this racial thing. Because they know you lose the argument. Once you go there, it's like, are you talking about the man's policies, or are you going to talk about the man being a black person? Once you go there, that's why I want to see more of it. I want more people to expose themselves, because I want you to say what you really feel like saying. So then we can go back to business while you have your tantrum. The creature is truly driven by rage. Trust me on that. All right, Q, I'm going to put you on hold for a minute, actually. I'm going to keep you on. I want to get your thoughts on, actually, I'm going to go off script a little bit. I found this clip with Dr. Boyce Watkins going in on 50 Cent and Oprah. So I want to play this clip next and get your thoughts about it, because I wanted to talk about this anyway. We'll go into this briefly, so hold on for a minute, gentlemen. Just hold on. Okay, this is Dr. Boyce on 50 Cent and Oprah in regards to Oprah interviewing 50 Cent, and I thought it was a bit odd myself, so hold on for a moment.
Hi, I'm Dr. Boyce Watkins from yourblackworld.com. I am sitting here just thinking about Oprah Winfrey and her new network and some of this interesting stuff that Oprah's been doing lately, stuff that we're not used to. To seeing Oprah doing. We're not used to Oprah interviewing dudes like 50 Cent. We're not used to her interviewing people like Kim Kardashian. Kim, to be honest with you, is, in my opinion, a talentless hack. I mean, she can't sing, she can't act, she can't even dance. She's not that smart. She got famous because of a sex tape, and for some reason she's become some sort of cultural icon, which I don't really understand. And then, you know, this interview with 50 Cent is a little bit strange, too, because 50 Cent, he first of all, he's built his whole career off of disrespecting women. Now, mind you, you know, when I did the CNN thing with Wendy Williams and Roland Martin about 5 years ago, and we talked about 50 Cent and the beef he had with Oprah Winfrey, you know, my position was more or less one that talked about Oprah's issues with black men because she's a product of abuse. And I think that Oprah has a lot of legitimate reasons to have issues with black men, but I think that in her own journey, she might want to heal from some of that because it causes her to do some things that don't make a lot of sense. But, you know, at the same time, while I might support the brothers in hip-hop to a point, we know how I feel about some of the bullshit that's going on in hip-hop. Excuse my French, but I have to, you know, be honest here. We know that disrespecting women is kind of a fundamental tenet of what commercialized hip-hop has become. And 50 Cent has really gone out of his way to really disrespect Oprah. To this day, he has a dog named Oprah. And the dog has a Twitter page. And on the Twitter page, there's a picture of the dog, and it says, Oprah the dog, I am 50 Cent's bitch. So he's got a dog named Oprah, and on the Twitter page it says that she's 50 Cent's bitch, and you're interviewing him, you're giving him a platform, and you're a person that has spent your career empowering women? I don't understand what's going on with that. I think Oprah should explain why she would even do that kind of an interview, why she would even interact with this person and try to present him as some sort of a reformed human being or an enlightened human being or someone who's worthy of understanding and forgiveness. I mean, he might be worthy of all that because 50 Cent is a damaged human being as well. I mean, he was shot 9 times. His mama was killed when he was a baby. He's gone through life in pretty torturous ways, and he's an amazing person because he's been able to survive all of that. But sometimes when you're strong and you're so empowered in that way, you're also damaged and scarred. And emotionally speaking, 50 Cent and Oprah Winfrey are two amazing, strong creatures that are irreparably damaged from their experiences. I mean, in some ways, they almost represent a microcosm of what's happened with the black man and the black woman in America, where black men are mad at black women because they feel disrespected, and black women are mad at black men for the same reason. And so to some extent, I think Oprah can frame this as the conversation that all of us kind of need to have with each other to overcome you know, the damage that we do to each other. Because typically when a black woman is damaged, it's because of something that a man did. But unfortunately, we live in a world where a lot of men don't know how to be men, and a lot of women don't know how to be women. Women don't know how to be nurturing and supportive, and men don't know how to be strong providers that they used to be. So as a result, the whole family breaks down. So I think that that conversation between Oprah and 50, in my mind, that represents the broader conversation that has to happen in the black community. But let's be clear, the way it stands, Oprah has no business doing this interview with 50 Cent. She sure as hell ain't got no business interviewing Kim Kardashian. I would not interview Kim Kardashian for Your Black World, because Kim Kardashian brings nothing to the table. The only thing she brings to the table is this amazing, she answers this amazingly difficult question that says, how do you make tens of millions of dollars with absolutely no talent and a dumb sex tape? I mean, I didn't even watch this dumb sex tape, but people who watched it, I assume, I'm like, well, the sex tape must be the bomb if she's famous off of this. And I talked to some of my friends, and they said, nah, man, that tape sucked. So she can't even make a good sex tape. So long story short, come on, Oprah, we got to do better than this. This doesn't make any sense. Well, I'm Dr. Boyce Watkins from Your Black World. Please subscribe, and also please take care and have a wonderful day. I am gone. Peace.
All right, folks. Again, that was from Dr. Boyce Watkins. And I've been critical of Dr. Boyce in the past. I some things I think he's 100% correct on. I mean, people are not perfect. I mean, I'm sure folks do not always agree with what we say here at AfroNerd. But I just think that at times he seems to be in that same classification as Dr. Michael Eric Dyson and Dr. Cornel West and those folk that I feel are more on the edutainment side of things, more on the entertainment side of education, just my opinion. But this time, and I allowed him the courtesy of completion, that clip, I thought that he was concise as to what was going on with this interview. Now, we have another caller as well. Let me just open this line up again. Caller 312, welcome to AfroNerd. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hey, it's Sergio.
Hey, Serge. What's up? Let me bring the other gentleman in. Okay, everybody's
yeah,
in now.
your thoughts.
That Watkins, you know, he's one of those, you know, professional black people. You know, his job is to explain black people, you know, to the media. But look, I'm really amazed. Like, he doesn't understand why Oprah is talking to 50 Cent and Kim Kardashian. He doesn't understand that. It's very simple. It's ratings. She's got to get ratings for that network that nobody is watching. You know, Discovery Communications has put up hundreds of millions of dollars in that thing. It's not her money. Some people think it's her money. No, it's Discovery Communications. They're not happy. They have not been getting ratings. They've already hinted that they may pull out. If they pull out, that's the end of OWN. So what does Oprah have to do? She has to start interviewing people who never before she would even dare to interview. So she interviews 50 Cent. She interviews the Kardashians, even though in the past she's put them down. And by the way, that interview with Kardashians did not do well ratings-wise. I don't know if the 50 Cent interview did, but the Kardashians did not. And by the way, I'm not going to put a woman down because she was in a porn and she was in a sex tape. I mean, come on. I mean, I'm not going to put a woman down for that. Are you crazy? What kind of man would do that?
You're going somewhere else with this, Serge. But I'll tell you this much: in defense of Dr. Watkins, I think what his confusion is that it appears that Ms. Winfrey is trying to play a balancing act. In other words, you know, she has this whole thing about being holier than thou and being above it all and being in support of women's rights, and it does seem a bit odd that, you know, she has essentially modeled herself as this iconic figure that represents women's betterment. And then you have a young man that, and I have to give Watkins respect in the sense that he did analyze these two people correctly. So you really are looking at both sides of a similar coin regarding damaged people. You know, let me finish my point real quick. When you have Oprah Winfrey and Tyler Perry both putting their stamp of approval on Precious a few years ago, and you're wondering, you're scratching your head, like, well, how does that happen? It's because they have a certain purview. They come from certain backgrounds that, I mean, there's probably more similarity in some way, I think, with 50 Cent and Oprah than we would like to believe because of this whole damaged background thing. Maybe he has a point because 50 Cent is an angry man. His background is really, really screwed up. But he was able to succeed. It goes back to Captain Kirk's thuggery argument. He is a prototypical thug. He's been hardened, and he's been able to capitalize on this hardened image. Let me go to Captain real quick. Captain, what are your thoughts on this interview with Oprah Winfrey?
Yes, sir.
What are your thoughts on this interview with Oprah Winfrey and 50 Cent?
Well, I feel that, you know, Dr. Boyce Watkins was on point with his analysis from that perspective. But I have to agree with the great Sergio Mims that, you know, the reason for interviewing these people is ratings. Someone as Oprah at this given point, she's playing both sides of the fence. So it's totally understandable. And someone such as Dr. Boyce Watkins should easily be able to figure it out at this given point. She needs ratings. She thought that she could essentially just put her name on her radio. Not radio, because she did have a radio station with Sirius. That's a whole other thing.
Right.
So let me not stray off the topic. But she just thought she could put her name on her TV station and everything was going to sell and move, even though it had terrible programming, terrible shows. That's not the case. So now she's trying to do what the other TV stations are doing when they interview with a 50 Cent or, you know, a Kim Kardashian or anybody else who really, you know, really that you would think should not be conjoined to an Oprah Winfrey. That's essentially what she's doing at this given point. So, you know, I agree totally with Sergio Mims, and I also agree with most of what Dr. Boyce Watkins is saying at this given point. So there you have it, sir.
Well, I mean,
back over to you.
Watkins is right, but doing a TV show, which what Oprah had, one TV show is one thing. To program a television network is something else altogether, and something which evidently now, from the evidence, Oprah was not capable, is not capable of doing. Right, you said it. The idea that people are going to watch something simply because it was on Oprah's network doesn't wash. Right, she last weekend in a radio interview said the reason she interviewed the Kardashians was a ratings ploy. It was a ratings stunt. If her network was doing well, she wouldn't have time for the Kardashians. She wouldn't even bother with 50 Cent. She's announced she's going to interview Rihanna. That's already coming up.
Well, listen, one thing. This is with another issue also. We're going to go to the Adidas slavery sneaker issue in a moment also. It's hell on earth even as we speak, obviously. But with Oprah Winfrey has given us the impression for 20 years, at least she's tried to give one the impression that she does not play to the cheap seats. Let me repeat that. She tries to give the impression that she does not play to the cheap
seats. That's not true.
Seats.
That's not true. Look at her TV show. You look at the TV show that she did, I would say that half those episodes were rating stunts. Look at that TV show. How many controversial people, scandalous people she had on that show to get ratings? She always did it.
I don't really agree with that. Because, listen, if we saw someone like Jerry Springer pull this with 50 Cent or Maury Povich, I think those guys unabashedly play to the cheap seats. Oprah Winfrey set herself up as a brand. You know, Jerry Springer, yeah, sure, he is a brand. You could say, as far as business is concerned, Povich and Springer have brands. But Oprah Winfrey has a brand like Ritz Crackers has a brand. She has a brand, and it was basically to play to middle American white females. That was her thing. Going this
right.
way with this more gossip-oriented, purient interest kind of thing, purient spin, is a little bit above, or a little bit to the left of what we know Oprah to be, or rather,
well,
what
you
she,
know, just
what
like
she
just
tried,
like that show she had, just like that show she had. She did two shows or three shows. That show with that writer, what's her name, who wrote, you know, women. Exhaling, waiting to exhale. She had
right.
that woman on
Tori
with
McMillan.
her gay ex-husband and had them battle it out on the show. She had them on twice, you know?
Well,
and, I mean,
listen,
there were other shows like that.
Yeah, but I'm not going to – you're entitled to an opinion. I don't think we're really necessarily disagreeing. I just think that Oprah has built herself up to be perceived in a certain way. Listen –
yeah, but
she
that's
was
see, it was an
mental.
Image. It was an image. It wasn't real. It was always an image.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. It's more of her image and branding I'm concerned with. And this does conflict with her image and branding. Now, honestly, I have some admiration for Oprah Winfrey for what she's accomplished and some of what her image is about. But on the flip side, I think that a lot of what she has been producing, even before her network and in segueing into her network, has been more or less new age pablum. That's why it's not working. She refuses to think outside the box. And what the captain has so aptly stated before with her serious deal, Howard Stern brought this out. To his chagrin, he mentioned that, hey, I come to work every day. I make this happen. I make my brand happen on radio. She just stamped her name on it and really didn't want to do anything with it. She collected a cool $50 million. And maybe you can't hate on her for that. I mean, you know, listen, if she's about business, if you want to be slick with it, as they say, then maybe that's what she did. But I think she tried to pull the same thing with this network without really going in and producing real programming. It seemed to be based on new age pablum, smoke and mirrors. That's my opinion. And now the chickens have come home to roost. Now, gentlemen, we got about 7 minutes remaining, so unfortunately, this show has been a little bit haphazard, and my apologies for that, folks. Feel free to give us a buzz. We got Q-Storm on the line. We have Sergio Mims and, of course, the great Captain Kirk. The call-in number, we do have about 7 minutes remaining. It's 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. 1920. As we close out in this segment and on the show, I want to talk about Adidas' new sneaker. Their attempt to produce this new sneaker that was slave-inspired, actually had shackles on them. Now, the listening audience knows, I've said this on many occasions, that I consider myself to be a sneakerhead. I collect sneakers. I would not collect these, obviously. But what it makes me wonder, who in the hell who works at these places? Captain, the person. Who was making them stupid? Captain. All right, you know what, Captain Mike, let me go to Q. Q.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on this, man? We've got about 6 minutes remaining. The sneaker, the Adidas sneakers coming out with, I mean, listen, everyone collects sneakers. Let's say 25, 30 years ago, there was, I believe, this stereotype that sneakers were very much a black and brown fixation. Now we know that sneaker collecting is cross-racial. But there are still an awful lot of black folks that are into sneakers. What's the thinking process in that they think that they could get away with producing sneakers, making sneakers that are slavery-inspired with shackles?
I would love to know. That's a very good question. I would love to know what the motivation is. It's almost like they should pay me to try to be their public relations manager, because I'm trying to come up with a explanation for this. Only explanation I can come up with is perhaps they are trying to solve the plight of, you know, young kids, inner city kids getting beaten up or murdered over their shoes, so that if you shackle the shoes to your feet, they can't be taken and people won't even try. That's the only thing I could come up with, and that's, I say that tongue in cheek. I have no idea who would consider buying this, but it reminded me of that movie Get on the Bus with the character who had the son chained to his wrist.
Right.
Really? What is the thinking behind this? So I don't have an answer for you.
And ironically, that kid that was chained to that father's wrist, he did 10 years in real life after that movie. You know about that, right?
I did not know about that.
Look it up. I can't recollect the young man's name, the actor. But that actor actually went to jail for about 10 years. I think he might have killed someone.
You're talking about the son or the father?
The son.
The son. He seemed like he had such a promising career. He was in a couple things
profile. He definitely had a recognizable face, but it's just something interesting that, you know, something to note, that young man actually, I think within the last 6 months to a year, was released after a 10-year bid for some nonsense. We have another call. Let's open the lines. We've got about 4 minutes remaining. Now that person disappears. All right. I'll say this much. And dovetailing on what the Q just said, you know, actually, let me see if I can bring the captain in. Captain, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we tried to get you. You kind of went out. Any thoughts on the slavery-inspired, shackled Adidas deal?
Well, here's the thing. A lot of these styles for the inner youth come out of where they come out of the prison. You have do-rags that have become popular that everyone's wearing all around in the regular street, regular wear. You have pants sagging out that comes out from the prison. Stocking caps, okay? You also have what you see, the wife beater tank top, also something known very much in prisons, okay? So, in my opinion, the individuals were trying to slip this one in. Because shackles, sometimes individuals in prison are shackled to their feet. Another style that's going to hit the street that will become popular because for whatever reason, the young people, when I say young people, when I say 12 to 30, seem to adopt what comes out of prison and make it the norm, their style, their way of dress. That's just my opinion. So there you have it. Back over to you, Sir Affiner.
Yeah, one quick thing, you know, I mentioned this on a few shows ago. I was looking at Common Law, which is the new USA TV with Michael Ealy. I guess he's one of the stars. And it just happened to be this, I can't get this quote out of my head because it's so profound and it so applies to what's happening with black and brown folk with our imagery. And I'm just going to repeat this for our audience because it encapsulates exactly what is going on clearly. This character said it was a character that had made a passing reference about self-esteem. One of the other characters had a problem with self-esteem, and she said, "If we undervalue ourselves, then we allow others to undervalue us as well." Let me repeat that: if we undervalue ourselves, then we allow others to undervalue us as well. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. You know, I talk about this incessantly, gentlemen, and I mean this for real. I'm very passionate about this, that we have created and we allow a cultural standard where they think now they can let anything go in. I mean, listen, first of all, based on what Q said, we should all of us are on air now. We should be getting a group together and demanding a check from Adidas and saying, you know what, if you want to stop this stuff, hire us. And let this stuff, any ideas you have, pass through us first, and we will approve or disprove. It's getting to that point. We're going to take Jesse Jackson's old job. That's what he used to do. You know, I mean, this is ridiculous. Again, folks, we got about a minute. I can't go into it that deeply. But it amazes me. You have folks that are completely clueless. Clueless. Clueless or racist or both. I don't know. Gentlemen, as always, we appreciate the support. Sorry for the technical difficulties. We will revisit all subject matter this Sunday, the double feature show. We have the Comic Shop at 6 p.m. with the indefatigable Daryl B., and we have Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk at 7 p.m. It's been an absolute funky joy, as I always say. Absolute pleasure. Sergio, we appreciate you coming through. Let's go out on a high note. This is Party Up by You Know Who. We'll see you all on Sunday. Thanks again.